Well, good morning. And welcome to Railway Street. Welcome to worship on the first Sunday in September. It's great to see you folks, all of you that I can see in the meeting house, and we welcome anyone who is with us for the first time, anybody who's a visitor with us today. And I know we have some folks who are here for the first time. It's a joy to have you here in our church family today. We also welcome those who are watching the live stream at home from wherever, and we also bid a good morning to those who will be listening to the telephone line service this morning as well. Welcome to our Back to School with God service today. I know in some ways it's sad when we get to the end of the summer, and it's always difficult going back to school. And if you're a pupil and you find that hard, let me assure you the teachers find it harder still. Once you get back, it's grand, but it's another school year that has begun with lots going to nursery, school, college, or university. I want to take a quick survey here as we start this morning. I want you to put your hand up if you're involved in our education sector in any way. So if you're a pupil at school, if you're a teacher or classroom assistant, or you work in any capacity at school, we're going to give that family time to get up the doors, up the stairs into the gallery so they can put their hand up too. If you're involved in school in some other way, if you serve on a board of governors, or even if you're doing the school run or looking after children, then you're involved probably with homeworks and education in some degree. So all of you who are involved in some way with education, would you put your hand up this morning for us, please? Okay, that's a fair number of people looking around the building upstairs and downstairs. So that's why we have this service, to recognize all those, the many who are involved in our schools in Lisburn and beyond. All of you have gone back to school. You've had to get ready and prepared for the new school year. So those of you who are pupils, hands up if you've had to get new school uniform, new school shoes, new school bag, pencil case, or a new haircut. Put your hands up if you've had to get those things. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, lots of new things to get. I was meant to have pictures behind me here. I don't know if they've been coming up or not. Probably someone in your house has been trying to help you get ready. Your alarm clock is having to be set a lot earlier maybe than it was over the summer. You're being encouraged to go to bed a wee bit earlier at nighttime so that you're able to get up. Or perhaps you've had this happen to you. You've got to get the obligatory school, the photograph of the first day back at school. Now, I got in trouble because Stephen's first day back at school on Thursday, Linda was teaching in Banbridge, so I was at home. I didn't take the school photograph. Wasn't popular whenever Linda got back and discovered we'd missed that. So maybe you got your school photograph. Maybe you can look back and see how you've grown since this time last year. And it's important to take time to get ready, to make sure we're ready to return to school in the best way possible, that we're ready to learn and to grow in the year ahead. And it's also very important to take time to ask God to prepare our hearts and our minds as we start another school year. And that's what we're doing today. We want to remind you that whatever this year holds, you don't go back to school on your own. You go back with God, whether you're a staff member or a student. And you also go with the encouragement and the prayers of our church family here in Railway Street. So as we begin our service, we remind ourselves that we're here to worship God. Let's hear some words from Luke 10:27, which is part of the Bible passage we're looking at today, where we read these words: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Let's pray together. Father God, may we be reminded of your incredible love for us and those around us this morning. Your love is patient and kind, does not envy, it does not boast. Your love is not proud and doesn't dishonor others. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. Your love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. We praise you that your love never fails. Help us to experience your love today We thank you that you do not leave us guessing how we are to live as your followers. You show us through how Jesus lived his life. Help us to follow his example, his commands as we explore your word today. Teach us to love others, knowing that when we do so, we show our love for you. As we start another academic year, whether at nursery or school or college or university, we want to give all of ourselves to you and seek your plans and purposes every day. Have your way in and through us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'm going to hand over to Ian and the band are going to lead us in a time of worship. Thanks, Dean and our band. Great to have them all back with us this Sunday. Boys and girls, rules are things we are all familiar with at school, aren't we? Doesn't matter what school you go to, your school will have rules. Some schools maybe call them golden rules. Other schools might call them values instead of rules. What are some of the rules in your school? Put your hand up or shout out. Tell me, what are some of the rules in your school? Don't be shy. What are some of the rules? No rules in your school. Don't think that's true. Anybody? Any rules in your school? No mobile phones. Now, that came from a teacher. That's definitely a rule in Lagan College, as in many other schools. No mobile phones in class. Thank you. What else? No running in the corridors. Is that one? Yeah. Any others? Schools must be a lot more laid back than they were in my day. Are you just shy this morning? Quiet and shy this morning. It's not like you. Why are rules important? Why do we need rules in our schools? Why do we need rules in our schools? Any thoughts? Rules are important, aren't they? Rules are important to ensure that the school is run properly and safely, and they ensure that you have the best possible experience in school and you're able to learn and you're kept safe. And in the Old Testament, the first half of our Bible, God gave some very important rules to his people. What do we call? There's a special set of rules that God gave to his people in the Old Testament. What do we call those? Ten Commandments. Thank you. The Ten Commandments. Yep, special rules that God gave his people. And in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 10, we find a man asking Jesus some questions about those commandments. And questions about how to please God. And we want to hear about that now. Hannah's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 10, verse 25. So folks, please pick up your Bibles. Pick up the Bibles in the pews. Look up Luke 10, verse 25.
Luke 10, verse 25. It's page 1042 in the church Bibles. Verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen.
Great. Well, Rebecca, how can we support you in your role, and how could we be involved in the work that SU's doing in schools?
Yes, well, I just want to take this opportunity actually to say thank you, to say thank you as a church, as a congregation, because you're already involved in helping to support us at SU and have been for many years. I know that also was the case with Joel, who was in this role before me. So thank you for your already prayerful support and practical and financial support that you have shown to us. The main thing I can ask you to do is to pray. And please do pray for the children and young people in your congregation who are involved in school. Pray for their friendships in school, for their expression of faith in their schools. And please do also just pray for the local schools around you. I know you're very involved just across the road in Brownlee, and thank you for that. Just continue to do what you're doing. It's been amazing this year also to have Michael and Joanna and Hannah in school with me at different points, helping with lessons and different things going on. If that's something you would be interested in, please do come and speak to me. It doesn't have to be you standing up at the front of a classroom. Having someone in the room to help me give out Bibles and worksheets during a lesson is so, so helpful. So anybody can come along and get involved. So please come and chat to me afterwards if you would be interested in that.
Great. Thank you, Rebecca. So just before you come to speak, we're going to pray together now. Father, thank you for your work that you have given Rebecca to do in schools. And thank you for what she has prepared to teach from God's word for us this morning. Please help her to speak clearly and faithfully. And please help us all to know and love Jesus more so that we might serve him well wherever you have placed us. Amen.
I should also have said, out in the foyer, there are a couple of our leaflets if you'd be interested in taking those. Just give you some more information, or there's my email address on there as well if you want to get in touch with me. I'm going to ask Hannah to stay up here with me just for a second because I need her help. Okay, you were a little bit shy with Michael there, so I'm hoping you're not going to be as shy with me or else this just is not going to work this morning, so I hope that's okay with you. But we are going to start with a bit of a game. So Hannah has just read our Bible passage for us this morning, and I hope you were listening because I want you to think about the different characters that were in that story. Maybe you've played the game before, 20 questions. Okay, somebody gets 20 chances to ask a question to figure out who they are. Okay, I'm going to make it slightly harder this morning because instead of 20 questions, you're only getting 10, Hannah, okay? So I'm going to give Hannah a piece of paper. On this piece of paper is one of the characters from our story. She's going to ask all of you some yes or no questions to try and figure out who she is. So when Hannah asks a question, all of you together, okay, can reply with a yes or a no, okay? I'm going to give you this to hold above your head, so no peeking, okay? So this is who Hannah is in our story, okay? You can hold it up. Okay, hopefully you can all see who she is. So whenever she asks her first question, you can say yes or no, okay? Do you want to go ahead?
Okay.
Yes, yes. He said it, not me. He said it, not me, okay? I wonder if you're a person who likes to ask questions. Maybe if you were in school or you still are in school, were you the type of person who always wanted to know more? Or were you the person who was brave, if you didn't understand something, to put your hand up and ask a question? Questions are really, really good, and it's important that we learn how to ask good questions. In our Bible passage today that Hannah read for us from Luke 10, it starts with a man asking Jesus a question. The question was, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" This man was asking what he needed to do to live forever with Jesus after he died. Or to use some slightly different language, what do I need to do to get to heaven? The question was good, but it wasn't really a genuine question because the man already knew the answer. Because the Bible tells us that this man was an expert in the law. That means that he knew the first five books of the Bible really, really well. Now, who can tell me the first five books of the Bible? Shout them out for me. We have
Genesis.
Leviticus. Numbers and Deuteronomy, yeah. So in fact, if there had been an exam in the law, this man would have got a really good mark, maybe even 100%. Now, I know some of you here might think that you're experts in something, okay? Maybe some of the younger people among us are experts in something like Lego. Maybe you know lots of facts about dinosaurs or about a particular movie, maybe something like Frozen. If you watch the TV show Pointless, and I don't know, that maybe would show your age this morning, they sometimes include questions that are written by children. And they are actually exceptionally difficult because children can be really knowledgeable about things that some of us adults would never pay attention to. So think about this for a minute. Whenever you ask a question, are you asking the question because you really want to know the answer? Or sometimes do we ask a question to maybe try and show off a little bit about something we already know? That's what was happening here with the man in our Bible passage. He was trying to test Jesus, to see if Jesus was as smart as he was, to see if Jesus was going to give the same answer that he would have given himself. But of course, Jesus already knew this. After all, he knows everything. And so he didn't reply to the man's question with an answer. He replied to the man's question with another question. And Jesus' question was, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Or again, to use some different words, what do you think the Bible says? Jesus often asked people questions because it revealed to others what they were thinking. Just like a teacher in school would ask us a question to check what we are learning or what we are understanding. The man's answer proved that he really was an expert in the law and that he knew his Bible really well because he quoted some verses that we did read earlier in our passage. We're going to see them again on the screen. Let's say it all together. So please join in with the words of Luke 10:27, where it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Again, we may see this and think that was a good answer. That was what God had commanded his people so many years before, as we read in the book, earlier books of the Bible. And the answer he did give could be known as God's golden rules. He was asking us to love him and to love others. The expert in the law might have thought that he had answered the question really well. And I know when I answer a question, I'm told it's the right answer, I'm really happy and pleased. This man may have decided to walk away at that point, feeling pleased with himself that he'd given a good answer. But instead, he wanted to press on, and he asked Jesus another question. He was trying to trick him again. The next question he asked Jesus was, "Who is my neighbor?" I wonder, as you think about that question, how would you answer, "Who is your neighbor?" We would tend to think about the person next door, about the person we maybe sit beside in school, in our class. But for this man, a neighbor would have meant so much more to him, because he would have also known these verses in the fifth book of the Bible in Deuteronomy, where God says this: "You might be gathering your harvest in the field. You might not see a bundle of grain. Don't go back and get it. Leave it there for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God can bless everything you do." The challenge in these verses is to look beyond the person next door. It's to help anyone who is in need. Now, this man already knew that that's what God wanted him to do, to show his love to others by loving them the way God wanted him to. But he knew this in his head, but Jesus was able to see his heart. Loving others shouldn't be about having to do something. It should be thoughtful. It should flow out of our own love for God, being grateful for his love for us. And that would cause us to want to reach out to help others, others who God made, who God loves, and who he died for. But we know that that can be challenging for all of us, and particularly in school. We're going to think more in just a few minutes' time about how we can do that wherever God has placed us just right now. But for now, I'm going to hand back to Michael.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thank you for that first part of your talk. We'll be back with Rebecca in a few minutes time. We're going to sing together, folks, and the band aren't coming up for this one. It's going to be on video on the screen. Thought it was time we learned a new children's song in Railway Street, and this is one that was suggested as part of the program today. Now, you may know it. I hope some people do know it. I didn't know it. I'm not going to teach it to you. The folks who appear on the video are going to teach it to you, but it's called The Golden Rule, so it's focusing in on what we're thinking about together, in particular that command to love one another, to love our neighbour. So I'm just going to ask the folks, we'll keep our seats for this, folks, but do try to sing along. It's a children's song. It's not too complicated. Just get the hang of it. Do join in, and we'll just follow the video through to the end. Thank you. Well, folks, here's the man in question. You will have seen him. During that video, he got a shot of himself in playing the guitar.
I didn't actually take that shot. You know, that was.
Did you put the video together, Colin?
No.
Okay. Sometimes I'm not sure whether Colin is a principal who moonlights as a guitar player and singer, or whether you're a singer and a guitar player who moonlights as a principal.
I wonder about that as well sometimes.
Colin, lovely to have you back with us in Railway Street. Tell us a wee bit more about yourself, first of all.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my name's Colin Elliott. I'm principal at Brian Lee Primary School. Been there for the past 23 years as principal. I come from Lurgan. I'm married to Joy, who's also a teacher. She's a nursery teacher in Lurgan. And I have two children, Sarah, who just got married, so I have no money anymore. All the money's gone. She got married in July. And she's a secondary school teacher in Lurgan Junior High. She teaches English. And then my son, Daniel, he's 24, and he works in IT. And he's very put out at the moment because he's having to travel to Belfast. He got used to working from home. Okay. He's now traveling up and down to Belfast. So that's our home. I'm from Lurgan, just live outside Portadown now at the moment.
Okay, thank you. So you said there you've been in Brownlee 23 years.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Doesn't feel like that, I'm sure. Now, Colin, again, tell us, what do you enjoy most about your job? I mean, the role of a principal, there's so much that occupies your time, mm-hmm. and there are many things I'm sure you don't enjoy, but what is it that you most enjoy about that job?
There's so many things. I mean, we often say to parents, if you believe half of what you hear about us, we'll believe half of what we hear about you. And that is very true. Children are fantastic to work with, and it's been such a pleasure because I've invested so much in Brownlee Primary School. It's coming up actually on 24 years since I was appointed. And at that time, there were four teachers in the school and a classroom assistant who was on maternity leave. And now we have 30 staff and well over 200 children. The school's full. And to watch that video, I mean, that was just a little video crew came in and just took different snapshots over a period of days and different events that were happening at the school and just candidly captured different moments, but that, I believe that reflects our school. And whenever we see, I'm in the school long enough to see parents that I taught as children now coming back with their own children, and also maybe pupils who have left and looking to come back on placement because through their experience in Brownlee Primary School, they have maybe wanted to go on to become either classroom assistants or school teachers themselves. So to see children coming back and having had a really positive experience in Brownlee, that's so rewarding.
Okay, and certainly to my mind that video captures Brownlee School because it is an incredibly happy school. That's been my experience when we came to Lisburn. Stephen went to yes, Brownlee and into P4, just sort of looking to get that right. My wife's going like that. Yes, P4. It's a joy for me to come into the school to do assemblies and to be part of the Board of Governors along with four other members here in Railway Street. So it is a very happy school, but we know we have not been living in the happiest of times.
No, not at all.
And the last couple of years have been especially challenging for all of us and especially challenging in the education system. What have been the main challenges over the last year as you look back, Colin?
Well, I was thinking about that question, and really to talk about the challenges over the past year, I really need to go back a couple of years. 2019 actually was quite a difficult year, a very difficult year for the school, especially in the autumn term, because within 2 months, we tragically lost two parents, and also, of course, the lovely Liz Manine, who was one of our Board of Governors for many years, and I know a member of the church here. And that was a terrible, terrible blow at that time. We came almost straight out of that and then into COVID. And there was a lot of confusion as to what was going to happen. And we ended up obviously having to close the school for two lengthy periods. And having said that, the school didn't actually close because we had key worker children in every day. We had remote learning. The teachers, they had to look after their own children and teach the children at home and also prepare work and do online teaching as well for the children in our own school. So it was a difficult time, and I remember that first day when everything was locking down, meeting with the staff in the assembly hall, and we were all socially distanced, and we really just didn't know what was coming. We had, as I say, a difficult autumn term, and I remember saying to the staff, we don't know what's coming. Is this going to affect more of our families? Are we going to lose more people? What about your own families? And I said, look, you know, I don't know what everybody believes, but really, I would just like to take a time and have a time of prayer. And we did that as a staff, which was a very, very special moment. We prayed together. And I feel that, you know, one of the things we prayed for was discernment. And I think that we've been able to show discernment throughout COVID. And of course, over the last couple of years, as things have changed, people had different opinions and attitudes. When you're working with 30 people, some who were extremely cautious, others who wanted to get life back to normal. And as a school leader, to try and bring everybody along was really, really important. And we were able to do that and come out the other side and get everything back to normal again. And I think that's really important for the children.
Looking ahead, Colin, what challenges do you foresee in this school year?
Well, you know, sometimes the challenges that that come along are not ones that you foresee at all. It can just happen very, very suddenly. But one of the things that does concern me was actually something I didn't know about, because I think with my daughter getting married, I was so consumed with that at the beginning of July. But there was a ruling in the High Court where a child took a primary school in Northern Ireland to court over the fact that the school had a Christian ethos and had Christian teaching. And the RE curriculum in Northern Ireland schools really came about 15, 20 years ago, and it was agreed by the four main Protestant churches and the Roman Catholic Church. And it teaches Bible stories and the journey of Paul and the Lord Jesus and everything else. But that has been challenged now, and the child... it was obviously a test case. The High Court ruled in their favour. So I'm concerned that coming down the road, being able to have Scripture Union in school, child evangelism as we do, and even the local churches may become more and more difficult. There's not a day goes past since I've started back in August that I don't get an email from some humanist group looking to push their agenda and push out Christian teaching. So as churches, I feel we need to fight that strongly, because the Christian principles in the school, even if whatever if people have Christian faith or not, it doesn't matter. The Christian principles that we teach are so important.
Okay, thank you so much. Obviously, we've had a long connection with Brownlee, because Brownlee School was originally Railway Street School. The minor hall that we're just getting towards the end of renovating was the original building.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, and then... I don't know, can we focus, can the camera focus in on the plaque over at the door? Here, there's the plaque to Isabella Brownlee, who was the lady who, who left the money that allowed the school and the principal's house to be built. And so there's been that long-standing connection, and there are five members of Railway Street who are on the Board of Governors, and Hannah and I enjoy, and others enjoy, coming into the school. How can we as the local church best support and encourage you, Colin? You've mentioned one thing. That is an important issue there in terms of those pressures that are coming.
Yes, yes. Well, do you know something that has been a huge strength to me throughout my career in Brownlee Primary School is that I knew from the start, I was told that there was a little, you know, there were different prayer groups here in Railway Street that prayed for the school. And I believe that the success of Brownlee Primary School is due to that faithful prayer that has happened on a weekly basis for years and years and years. And I would just pray that you would continue to do that. And yes, pray for Brownlee, but also pray for our other local schools. We have, at the moment, quite a number of Christian principals in schools in Lisburn. And I think that that is a great influence on our young people today, because there's a lot of confusion out there for young people. There's certainly a lot of anxiety in young people and young teenagers. And there are all sorts of different reasons that we don't have time to go into today as to why that is. But I feel that schools and school leaders need continued prayer. So that would be the most important thing, if you continue to do that.
Well, we're going to do that now. Colin, if you want to stand with us here, we're going to pray for the school of Brownlee now. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we want to give thanks to you for Brownlee School. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for a happy school, a well-known and respected school, a school that many here in our church family have been through during the years right up to the present day. We thank you, Lord, for that Christian foundation of the school here in Railway Street. We thank you for that Christian ethos, which is still so clear in Brownlee. We thank you for Colin and all his staff, his teachers and classroom assistants and auxiliary staff. We thank you for every family associated with that school, for all the children who come along. We thank you, Lord, for those here in Railway Street who serve on the board of governors of that school. And our prayer is that you would continue to bless and prosper Brownlee, that Christian ethos would continue to be evident and would be maintained in the face of what we see to be pressures coming down the line. We pray for great wisdom for management teams in schools and for principals like Colin and other local principals. We thank you, Lord, for the large number of Christians that you have called into teaching, those who teach, those who are principals, and for the great influence that is, Lord. And we pray that you would help us as a church family to support, to encourage our local school especially, to pray for it, to encourage others to go along to it, Lord. We just pray that this year the school would know your leading and your guiding, and would know your wisdom, and would know your protection and your blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Colin, for being with us today. Thank you. I'm going to hand back to Rebecca.
You're funny. Not quite funny bone. Something a lot of people might be saying at the minute about lots of things when you go into a shop, and butter's up to £4. Costs an arm and a leg. Yeah, I heard it over there. Yeah, costs an arm and a leg. Okay. And one more I think we have for under 18s. What's this one?
Lion King.
Lion King. Yeah. Okay, very good. We have the Lion King, okay? Whenever we think about these pictures on the screen, okay, we need to take a closer look at them to find the hidden meaning that is inside. And whenever Jesus was here on earth, he taught a lot of the time in stories, stories called parables, stories with a hidden meaning. And just as we look at those pictures, we also have to look at Jesus' parables a little bit more carefully to find the hidden meaning that is inside. So as we have a think about Jesus being the best teacher of all, we're going to remind ourselves of the Bible passage we read earlier by watching it in this short video. Imagine if you were the Jewish expert in the law sitting listening to that story. For us today, as we hear it, it maybe doesn't have quite the same impact, but for him, it was shocking, completely shocking. As he heard what Jesus was saying about the priest and the Levite, they would have been expected to help. They were good people. They were worshippers of God, upstanding citizens. Why did they not help? Why did they pass by? Maybe they were afraid of being attacked too. Maybe they were worried about becoming unclean by touching this injured man. Maybe they were just too busy. They had a meeting that they were rushing off to, or an appointment to go and see someone. But actually, maybe we are just like them. We too get so caught up in ourselves that we sometimes forget about the needs of those around us. Maybe we see something and think, it's okay, someone else will come along and deal with that issue. Maybe in your classroom there's a big left that gets left at the end of the day, and you think, I'll just leave that for somebody else to sort out. Or for all of us in college or university or work, wherever we find ourselves, there's somebody in need of help. I know we can be so tempted to put our own heads down and walk on by. But the startling thing in this story is that the person who helps is someone who was considered as the injured man's enemy. Someone this expert in the law would have looked down on, would never have spoken to, would have hated, because we know that the Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, because they disagreed about many things, especially when it came to worshipping God. The Samaritan may have been the one who had a good reason to walk on by, as it was his enemy lying on the road, but he didn't. He saw a person in need and he stopped to help. I wonder for all of us, who is the person that we would normally pass by? The person we would pass by in our street or in our schools or in our workplaces. This isn't just a challenge for the expert in the law, but it's a challenge to all of us. The injured man in this story represents anyone in our lives who is in need of help, someone who is maybe different from us that we need to stop and think about. But the Samaritan didn't just help. He was extravagant in his help. He shared his donkey, he spent his money, and he invested his time. He didn't just give a quick dose of first aid and walk on by. He went far beyond what was considered reasonable. In verse 33 in the NIV, it says he took pity on him. Other versions say that he was moved with compassion. This was radical, challenging love that stepped into someone's mess, that didn't count the cost. Does that remind you of someone else? It's a picture for us of Jesus' love, coming down to earth, setting aside his own comfort, stepping in to our mess, and not counting the cost for himself as he went to the cross to pay the price for all of our sin. And we know that we all need Jesus' help to forgive our sin, but the amazing thing is that he will forgive anyone who asks and believes in him. Jesus ends this story by telling the man to go and do likewise. So what was he wanting him to do? Jesus was wanting this man, this expert in the law, to love like he loves. And he calls all of us here to do the same. He calls us to love the Lord our God with all our heart. That is number one. Then he tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are God's golden rules. I hope that as you go into your school this week, or for those of us who are going to work or wherever we find ourselves in the days ahead, that we remember what God has asked of us as we love him and love those around us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, which tells us so much about you. God, we thank you for your amazing love for each of us. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us for the times when we do not show your love to those around us. God, I pray that you would help each of us here to be able to love those around us the way you have asked us to, in our schools, in our families, in our streets, or in our workplaces. And God, even now as we're praying, Lord, maybe you would put someone in our own hearts and minds that we need to make an effort to show your love to this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is the best teacher of all. Help us all to be good students and to listen to your voice and the teachings of your word. We want to be kind to others and to be like the Good Samaritan, loving people no matter who they are. We pray for all pupils going to school this term and those who are learning at home. We think of those starting nursery, school, college, or university. We think of those, Lord, in our church family heading away to university for the first time. We think of those who are leaving in the very near future. Be with them. Help them to settle quickly and to make good friends. Thank you that you are with us all at this exciting time and that we go back to school with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we want to close our service as we sing together a song that reminds us in loving God and loving others. We're following the example of Jesus. And so we stand to sing together, The Servant King.